Our first reading today is from Matthew. It's verses 15 through 22, and it's called Paying Taxes. That's when the Pharisees plotted a way to trap him into saying something damaging. They sent their disciples with a few of Herod's followers mixed in to ask, "Teacher, we know you have integrity, teach the way of God accurately, aren't indifferent to popular opinion, and don't pander to your students. So tell us honestly, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus knew they were up to no good. So he said, "Why are you playing these games with me? Why are you trying to trap me? Do you have a coin? Let me see it." They handed him a silver piece. "This engraving, who does it look like and whose name is on it?" They said, "Caesar." "Then give Caesar what is his and give God what is his." And the Pharisees were speechless. They went off shaking their heads. That concludes the first reading.
Thank you, choir, for doing that Invictus anthem so beautifully. They just got it this week, so it's pretty wonderful what you did. Thank you, congregation, for doing your part so beautifully. Now, whenever you hear the word Invictus from here on out, then I think you should automatically say, "Invictus, Invictus, Invictus, Invictus. Amen." It's a wonderful word for what's happening here. So keep it in your head and your heart and your spirit, and it will grow. So we are so grateful to be here, but we had a rocky beginning. I took a bad fall a week ago. We almost missed our plane. We got there 10 minutes before plane time because the cab thought it would take less time than it actually did. Our luggage went somewhere in the United States, and it appeared at 12:51 the next day a.m. So we are so grateful to be in your midst and to know that God is good and God is everywhere, and we got here safely and you are here, and we love you a lot. So it's really wonderful to be here. Let's pray. It is the grace of God and the love of God and the presence of God which brings us together on this day. And so let us praise God in every corner of our lives for all the gifts of God, for this church and this community. In Jesus' name. Amen. When I first looked at the lectionary for today, one of the readings from Thessalonians simply reached out from the page and grabbed my heart because it said exactly what I wanted to say to you today. Hear this as I read it, or read it on the PowerPoint, but experience it as if you were back in time and listening to Paul, that amazing follower of Jesus, as he speaks to the people that he loves. From 1 Thessalonians 1 through 5 and 8. "Every time I think of you, I thank God for you. Day and night you are in our prayers as we call to mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in following our Master Jesus Christ before God our Father. It is clear to us that God not only loves you very much, but God has also put his hand on you for something special. When the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit puts steel in your convictions. And the word has gotten around. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore. You are the message. You are the message. And you truly are. Praise God. Praise to our powerful preacher, Paul, whose words of greeting exactly match my heartfelt greeting to you today. And special thanks and love to Dr. Fred for letting me plan this time of music and worship with you. Now, Linda has read our gospel message on paying taxes. Isn't that an appropriate thing? And it was part of the lectionary for today. How very fitting with the daily conversations that we have about taxes now. Who's going to pay what? How much? 999? Whatever. And all the plots are going around Jesus 2,000 years ago seem remarkably familiar in today's political world. Can't you just hear the political wheels going round in that conversation reported between Jesus and the Pharisees who were trying to seduce Jesus with all that rhetoric and all those false positives? Oh, Jesus, you have so much integrity. You, Jesus, are indifferent to popular opinion. Jesus, you teach God accurately. So, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? What say you, Jesus? Now, Jesus isn't seduced or fooled by their hypocrisy, and his response is very simple. Just give to God what is God's, and give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And the Pharisees are left speechless. But in today's economic and political world, nothing seems very simple. The stock market goes up and plunges down. The housing market and the job market are terrible. We are bombarded with worldwide catastrophic possibilities, endlessly trying to survive. These are extraordinarily hard times for people everywhere, right here and around the world. But Matthew, our gospel writer, is not daunted by the bad news of his time. And so he brings us the simple truth of Jesus' message, no matter what time zone we are living in. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. And then he invites us to discover the difference. And that is the gift of this scripture reading for today. The question that Matthew asks us has two parts. What is it? What do we have that belongs to God? And what do we have that belongs to the Caesars of this time and this political age? Now, throughout his ministry, Jesus showed us that the best way to answer the tough questions is always with a story. He was forever explaining life through the parables that he told. And so shall we. And our story for today is called The Man with Two Pianos. Now, most of you know my story of discovering God in my dining room while I was dusting books. But what you don't know is that after that transforming moment, I did not go right to seminary. In fact, God had other ideas that turned out to be just as surprising as finding God in my dining room. And that sounds like a good opening for a story. So get comfortable, settle back. Don't go to sleep unless you're really tired, and then do it quietly. And hear a story about a man with two pianos. Shortly after I found God in my dining room, about a week, 2 weeks later, I was invited to a neighborhood party down the block, across the street. I was new in the neighborhood, didn't know anybody, and I thought this was a really good idea. So I took myself off down the block, across the street, up the stairs, rang the doorbell, and a man answered the door. And he didn't say anything. He just stood in the doorway, not inviting me in, but just stood. And so I finally put my hand out. I said, "I'm Bobby McKay. Thank you for inviting me to your party." And he said, "I have two pianos." And I look around to see if he's talking to somebody behind me, but there's nobody behind me. "I have two pianos. One is a baby grand, and it's a beautiful instrument. It's a wonderful tone, and it's just a marvelous piano. But then I have an upright. And if you know anything about uprights, you know that their tone and their timbre and everything about an upright is really rich. Well, I'm a little confused by this conversation. There's nobody behind me yet. But remember, I just discovered God in my dining room. So I figured, well, anything goes now. So he went on for a number of minutes talking to me about his two pianos. Now, you have to know three things. One, I never met this man before. Never met him before. Two, I took piano lessons as a 3, 4, and 5-year-old. And when I turned 6, my piano teacher said to my mother, "Bobby has no talent. It is a waste of your money. So forget the piano lessons." So that was the end of my piano lessons. I'm now 33 years of age. I haven't touched a piano in all those years. So I don't know. And I'm not in the market for a piano. I mean, I'm coming for a party, right? But I'm so drawn into this incredible conversation about pianos, I pay attention. And finally he says, "You know what? I think you ought to buy the upright." And I said, "Okay, how much does it cost?" And he said, $75. And I said, "Okay, I'll pay you $5 a month till it's paid for. That's 15 months. And you pay for the move from your house to mine." He said, "Sold." Shook my hand, closed the door. I never went into the party. A week later, the piano arrived at my house. And where did I put the piano? Well, I put it in the dining room, because that's where God lives at my house. So I had not ever touched this sight unseen. I bought this with $75 I didn't have. I touched a couple of the notes. It sounded quite nice, but I don't play by ear. I don't have anything that I can play, because I don't know anything. And then I start to hear music in my brain. And then I have to find the music from my brain on the piano, but I don't know how to write it down because I don't know anything. So I find a hymnal, and I look at the hymnal and how it's put together, and I figure if they can do it, I can do it too. And the rest is history. Music became my direct connection to God, to my heart, to my spirit, to my mind, to people everywhere, a kind of an open door. I felt a spiritual transparency that came through this amazing vehicle. Invictus, the anthem that you learned today, happened because I recognized God in my dining room and because I bought a piano that I didn't need. Never my plan. Never a dream, never anything in my imagination. The God I recognized in my dining room became the God I could experience anywhere and everywhere. It is as if God bathes us, drenches us in spirit, washes over us with the water of God's presence, a kind of powerful baptism of creativity and spirit. And it doesn't matter what the action is. For me, it was writing music. For my daughter, it's her gardening. For one of my sons, it's playing classical guitar at a local hospital. For someone else, it's watercolors, or cooking, or painting houses, or painting rooms, or repairing churches, or writing poetry, or books, or creating electronic connections, almost anything, when our hands become miracles of God's presence. And as surely as Mary birthed Jesus, when each of us births something in us that is creative in the broadest sense of the word, God is reborn. Our spirit comes to life, and the world is transformed. I don't know if my piano host knew what he was doing, but I know that God was standing right next to him. So what does a man with two pianos and the whole issue of creativity have to do with giving to God what belongs to God and giving to Caesar what belongs to Caesar? The answer is really quite simple. Each of us belongs to God. We are God's creatures in God's creative world, and God uses each one of us to further God's kingdom. As Jesus is the face of God in the world, our spirit is God's creative energy in the world. And often people will say to me, "Bobby, I am not creative. There is nothing in me. My creativity is this big." In the same way that they say often to me, "Bobby, I've never had an experience with God." And I simply don't believe them at all. Because everyone at some time has had an experience with God that touched something unexpected and surprising in them. That was life-transforming, life-altering. And that's what creativity is all about. It's the birth of our spirit and the birth of our connection to God. And once we know that connection, it's all about putting that spirit out into the world, because you can't hide it. Once you connect to God, you got to go out into the world with that. Christian scientists say that God gives us ideas and we enact them in the world. I like that a lot. God gives us ideas and we enact them in the world. So each idea that springs into your consciousness is a message from God acting through your thinking, dreaming, imagining self. Each "what if" we say is really the birth of an idea from God enacted in our life. So, what if I were to quit my job and do something I've always wanted to do? What if I were to start a blog? What if we were to downsize and put our money where it might do more good for someone else? What if I went to school and started a new career? What if I spent 15 minutes a day praying or meditating or just being quiet? What if I volunteered for something I really believed in? What if I went to Dr. Fred and said, "Use me for whatever you need"? What if I let go of whatever is holding me back and do what I always wanted to do? What if I were to buy a piano? We think about, dream about, fantasize about, ruminate about different things in our lives. And sometimes these are the ideas that not only change our lives, they change the world. In our study, people reported that the most spiritual experience they had was when they were really listened to, or when they were listening to someone else. The most spiritual experience is really listening and being heard. We know what it's like to listen to another person. But when we listen to God's ideas inside of us, our lives are permanently altered. And all these birthings of God in our lives takes us right out of this awful deluge of disaster and places us squarely where we belong. We are God's children, living in God's world. We are God's creatures blessing this world with our spirit. And once you see the connection between you and God, when you really know that you and God are entirely connected, then everything changes. And you can't live in the same way you did before, because God never quits whispering new ideas into our spirit. And so what shall we give to God? What in us belongs to God? We give our heart, our soul, our mind, our creativity, our body, our spirit, our life, our energy, our dreams, our knowing, our wishing, our loving, our questions, our struggles, our hopes, our doubts, our pain, our fear. We give God the sum total of our lives. It all belongs to God. And what shall we give to Caesar? We give to Caesar a lifeless coin. That's all. That's all. So what does a man with two pianos have to do with God? Well, it's not a bad image of what God just might be like in person. In the name of Jesus the Christ, praise God. Invictus, 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 Invictus. Amen. Thank you. Oh, thank you.